welcome to the podcast of the Monaco Preview by the F1 India community. This is by and large, you know, getting the mix of the race. You know, we'll do some predictions. We'll discuss the track of Monaco and so on. So I hope you guys will enjoy this small podcast of ours. With us, we have today Tanya Agarwal, Shubham Day, and Arvind with us. Hey guys, what's up? How's everything?
Hello. Good.
Right. Good.
Looking forward.
Yeah. Right, Arvind. Yeah, that's absolutely correct. So, guys, let's start with the history. We all know the importance of Monaco in the racing fraternity. Arvind, do you want to start? Share some light on the Monaco Grand Prix. How is it? What exactly should we expect from it?
Yeah, so definitely Monaco is one of the prestigious races in the calendar. It is also the shortest circuit, but still has a immense run drivers, because every corner is appearing quickly. And it is really a fun track. It holds a history for Formula One. It is a really special place for Formula One drivers, many F1 fans. So Monaco, on an overall, it is one of the most.
Sorry, I think we lost Arvind over here. No problems with that. So, yeah, as Arvind was saying, you know, Monaco has a history. It's one of the triple crown jewel, it is known as, in the racing fraternity. Tani, you want to share a light on why it is called as a jewel in the racing fraternity?
I think it's, first of all, giving a little background of Monaco. It has run every year since 1929. So that's a big deal for any track, and many people consider it to be the hardest track on the calendar. Very sharp turns, not many overtaking zones. It's rightly part of the Triple Crown of the motorsport, and in fact only one driver has achieved the Triple Crown till now. I think it was Graham Hill. Although many drivers have won the prestigious Grand Prix, but not many achieving the Triple Crown. So that's why Monaco is a lot challenging.
Right. So we have Arvind back with us. Arvind will come back to you in a minute or two. Shubham, do you want to share the light on why, you know, only Graham Hill has been successful on this? What does the history of the racing tell you of the circuit about?
Let's talk about the track layout at first, shall we? So the track, back in the day when the racing started, the track was much shorter than what it is now. Comparatively shorter and much less chicanes. It was more of a, like, you can say, a short oval, but on a street track, you can say like that. Even the pits were very, like, there were no barriers between the pits and the, and the grid. And moreover, it was very dangerous back in the day, because at that time, not much safety regulations were there. Even there were at times when, let's take example of Alberto Ascari, who crashed his Ferrari back into the harbor. And even there was a driver from Ferrari who was burnt alive back in there. So yeah, the track has seen much evolution over the years. Barriers have come up alongside making the chicanes and separating the pit away from the grid. So yeah, the track has seen a lot of change. As for talking about Graham Hill, we must agree with Graham Hill was an excellent driver back in the day, and with the Lotus outfit being a completely technologically developing team back in the time, from the 60s till 80s, it was an unstoppable combo for him. I mean, Lotus trip to Graham Hill back in IndyCar too, and they won that too. So it's a very big thing.
Right, Graham Hill surely was.
1967, if I'm not wrong, Graham Hill won the Triple Crown back in the day.
Oh, that's,
and I think
that's,
it was with Ford. Ford with, I think, mm-hmm. Ford GT40 most likely. Yeah.
That is a very long time. Yeah. 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 Exactly. Right. So just talking about the Graham Hill over here. Yeah. As you said, 67 Triple Crown, and so far nobody's able to achieve that. Speaking of the Triple Crown, for the people, just to shed light on it, Triple Crown in the racing fraternity is IndyCar, Indianapolis 500 race, 24 Le Mans, and the Monaco Grand Prix of Formula One. These three combined together makes the Triple Crown or the jewel of the racing fraternity. So far, Fernando Alonso is one of the guy who's on the blink of achieving it, because he has already won a race in Monaco with McLaren, and he has won a Le Mans as well a couple of times. So the only thing remaining for him is the IndyCar race, the Indianapolis 500. We'll come back to that in short time. But yeah, just like somebody said, this has been a prehistoric race. Pre-Second World War race has been there since 1929. Those times, there was not Formula One Championship. They were European Championship, as they were called. And after the official launch of 1950 Formula One, it has always been there. Arvind, do you want to continue on the history of the track furthermore?
Yeah, definitely. Monaco, yeah, as I said, it is one of the most prestigious track in the calendar. And it was like first conducted on 1929. And of course, we have Mr. Monaco, Graham Hill, who was like exceptional around the track. And also another driver, like I would like to add, who is also like almost Mr. Monaco, we can call Ayrton Senna. His pole lap, we all must have watched that onboard pole lap of his. It was really exceptional. Like from nowhere, he pulled out like 2 seconds faster than the rest of his competitors. So that was really cool. If you see which team has more success in Monaco, so far it is McLaren. So, we'll also be talking about McLaren now. And Monaco, yeah, it is definitely like one of the most prestigious tracks.
Right. So before we come to McLaren, just to let our audience know, so Graham Hill holds the title of winning the Monaco Grand Prix 5 times. But that was broken by the great Ayrton Senna. He won it 6 times. Okay. And nobody can forget his 1984 ride with Tolman in the bad conditions, and you know how superior his race car or his driving skills were at that point of time. Speaking of McLaren, Arvind, just shed a light on how Ayrton Senna was faster than the second car 2 seconds ahead. Again, that was his teammate in the same machine. And that was Mr. Le Prince, if I'm not mistaken. Correct?
Yes, yes.
Right. So, speaking of McLaren, Tane, would you like to share some highlight on McLaren and the new livery which they are going to showcase this year?
Let's start with a brief backstory of McLaren those days. Two of the greatest F1 legends, Ayrton Senna and Alan Prost, back in the day, racing against each other, same team. Ayrton Senna holds the record 6 Monaco Grand Prix, and considering it was much difficult back in the day, because back in the day we used to have that full, nowadays we have the steering wheel in a car, the full circular steering wheel we used to have in the cars, and nowadays it's still the half the length, and we can use the steering lock to cut some corners. But back in the day it was pure driver skill, and even you lose 1% of your concentration, you end up in the barrier. So, great man, Ayrton Senna. And now coming to McLaren. McLaren, historic team, but somehow they lost the championship. In the years, they have been struggling, but now it seems that they are back on track. They are currently running third. They finished third last year. They have a great driver pairing, Daniel Ricciardo, Lando Norris. Daniel Ricciardo he's still finding his form, but Lando Norris achieving his second podium, it's great for them. And that livery looks fantastic. McLaren X Gulf livery. I think it looks better than their actual livery they are running this season. And not
right. Much. That you know, slightly whitish, silverish livery with orange.
It's
a very dramatic. Yeah, gives a very dramatic contrast and very good styling. Arvind, any take on that particular car design and what do you think the chances of the cars? You know, Monaco is not very power oriented circuit. It's more of a downforce circuit. And you know, we all see now the cars are very bunched together this season. Though McLaren, though Mercedes and Red Bull are you know, way ahead of rest of the grid. But do you think you know, this grid in Monaco will be a little more compact, more tight?
Yeah, definitely. I believe after the aero changes that we have had this year, it's normally Monaco is really tight. Considering the changes that we have this year, it's going to be even tighter, I feel. And we have also heard drivers saying that in this track, Monaco is the track where they don't use eighth gear mostly. So it is really going. It is all on the car. All depends on the driver, how he's going to drive. And highly, as SJ said, it's a highly high downforce circuit. And considering that they have a new livery, like almost a vintage livery of the Gulf, it is really special weekend for McLaren this time. And that striking blue and orange does make it look cool. And yeah, obviously they are having Lando Norris and Daniel Ricciardo. And considering Daniel Ricciardo has won the Monaco mm-hmm. GP once in 2018, so he must be really excited about the fact that
right
he's having a special livery and also in a special car with a new team.
It so must be kind of a
yeah. One is at Monaco, the greatest of all.
2018. Correct. And yeah, it must be homecoming from
Daniel Ricciardo. on the top step, exactly. But then yeah. I want to include one part. Special liveries do not mean that the race is going to go well, especially in Formula One. I specifically mean it. Because,
of course.
Let's take the last possible example of a good livery coming in and it going all wrong. Let's take the year 2019, Germany, Mercedes bring in their 150th year livery on their cars, and then all hell breaks loose with first of all we see Hamilton spinning and like almost losing a wing and half at the last corner, and then the pit stop going all wrecked up.
Right.
Then
right.
We saw Valtteri spinning off and then crashing. So yeah, correct. We can't say that it has a new livery, so it will perform well. Let's see. Let the weekend proceed.
Correct. Now, Shubham, you're speaking of that special livery. Let me bring one very important fact to the notice. It's the Williams 750th Grand Prix weekend. Oh boy, that's an achievement, you know. I just love it. Shubham, any take on that?
I mean, when you are talking about the greatest of the British outfits, you cannot forget Lotus, then McLaren, then Tyrrell, then Williams. These are like the, what you can say, the British quads of Formula One. And like they are the pillars of Formula One in Britain. You can say that. Williams has been an excellent team since their inception back in 1975 when Frank Williams was just a really young chap. Till today, the team has seen its highs and lows, especially its highs in the 90s, 80s and 90s. I mean, that was an excellent time. Even though at that time, Williams did suffer some losses, like Frank Williams lost his, he got paralyzed after an accident. And then we saw the team losing Senna back in 94. But still, the team has been strong all throughout their years. In the 20th century, 21st century rather, we should say, the team did not have an excellent run. But I think the team is slowly growing up with Russell being an excellent driver, Mr. Saturday, Mr. Super Saturday, whatever you call him. And Nicholas Latifi being extremely consistent about his drive, extremely conservative about his car. So, yeah, Williams are going on the right path. And after that, financial problems have gone down now. I think Williams are on the path of, what you can say, redemption, back to the top, maybe. Because I personally feel in 2022, Williams can be a contender to the midfield.
Yeah, it would be too early to speak about the 2022. Let's you know, we'll come to the prediction sections. But before that, I just want, Tanay, can you go through the track layout? I mean, how do we proceed on the track? And, you know, just give a brief introduction of the track to our fans, and what kind of layout does it have, and what features specifically does it have on the track? Post which we'll do the predictions, and Arvind, I would like you to start the predictions with the homeboy Charles Leclerc. This will be his third Monaco Grand Prix and second with the Ferrari, with the chances now much more higher at stake. But Tanay, let's start with the track layout first.
Okay, so as all of you, we have stated, it's the slowest track, slowest corner, but still, it poses one of the most exciting qualifications of the year by far. So first, let's go down the track. We have the start-finish rate. Only one DRS zone, the start-finish rate. Not that fast compared to other circuits, but still. Then we go to corner one, same devote. Many drivers, it's a third gear, fourth gear corner. Then you climb up the hill, View Rivage, Massenet, and then the famous Casino Square. Fast part, as you're gaining elevation, you're trying to speed up. And gaining elevation, speed up, it's a little tricky, plus a little narrow. Then you go downhill to mirror view. And next comes one of the most difficult corners of the F1, the Fairmont Hotel Hairpin. It's the slowest corner on any circuit. It's done at 40 kilometers per hour or even lower, first gear corner. Then you go to the amazing scenery, the Portier tunnel side where all the yachts are parked up. Many of the drivers, we saw Kimi Raikkonen going up to his rod once. Beautiful view coming through the tunnel, then through Novel Chicane. It's also a tricky chicane. But yeah, many overtakes happen there. Many mishaps happen there. One I can remember was Verstappen versus Hamilton. And then you go to Tabak. Tabak is also a medium speed corner. And then you go to another interesting corner, sweeping left, right, the swimming pool chicane. Then you just turn back and then La Rascas. It's another famous corner. Then Antini Nogues, and then you connect back to the front straight. Over to you, SJ, now.
Right. Yeah, great. And I thank you very much for that. Yeah, the chicane, Novel Chicane, has so many incidents over the past years. I remember Charles Leclerc in 2018, he crashed his first home Grand Prix then with Sauber, and he crashed with Williams with his brake not working fine. And then I think it was last year where Hamilton and Verstappen were locked in a battle. Unfortunately, Hamilton had to cut the chicane, and Verstappen kind of partially took the chicane, and it was marked in this accident. And oh, that chicane is such a part of this thing. Again, going through the tunnel, you know, we have incidents in tunnel also where famous crash of Michael Schumacher behind the safety car with Montoya just touching him on the rear. Lots of incidents, and this is one of the circuits where safety car does have an appearance. But overall, it will be possibly a very interesting race to see. Let's start with the predictions, Arvind, shall we?
Yeah, so to start with, I'm going to say Charles Leclerc has to break his curse in Monaco. I mean, since 2017, his F2 season, he hasn't finished the Monaco GP. Even in his F2 career, it was a DNF into 2017. 2018, he crashed into the Toro Rosso of Brendan Hartley. 2019, he couldn't finish. He had a puncture and he had to retire the car. And 2020, it didn't happen. And 2021, he has to, like, yeah, remove the curse. As Max erased his curse in Italy, Charles should erase his curse in Monaco, I feel. And yeah, my predictions are...
Just to let the viewers know, this is the home race for Charles Leclerc. And there will be some extra pressure on him sitting in that Ferrari and, you know, going through his home corners over there, the streets, which he famously said that I used to go to school on the street. So yeah, it's going to be extra pressure for him. Yeah, go ahead, Arvin. Yeah, sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, it's no problem. Yeah, so yeah, my predictions for the race are Max P1, because I want the Red Bull pool to have its like taste. Yeah, to Red Bull team to have its taste. Max wins, goes into the Red Bull pool. P2 for Lewis Hamilton. And P3, I'm going to go with Charles Leclerc.
Shubha.
I want to be a bit different about the choice. I think P1 will go to Lewis because, as we know, if there is no rain, like I've checked the weather and there doesn't seem to be any rain. So, yeah, it does seem to have rain on quali. So, on quali, I cannot guarantee who can be on pole. But on win, I can, to some extent, say it might be Lewis or it might be Max. I'm like on a 50-50 thing. For third, I think it might be either Sergio, because Sergio has a good result around the track and he has been on the podium quite a few times. Like he was on 2016 and he has been on the front runner side in this track. So yeah,
So Shubham, you and Arvind both are playing safe in terms of your predictions. No dark horses over there. Quite an interesting selection over there. Tanay, what about you? Dark horses in your prediction?
See, myself, I'm a massive Red Bull fan, so definitely I'm going for Red Bull. But I think that Red Bull car setup, it prefers Monaco a lot. They run a high downforce and we've seen Red Bull have generally achieved good results in Monaco past years. So I'm going for Max for the win and he also takes the pole. Second, I'm going for Lewis. And third, I am going for Sergio. I think it's he achieved a good result, I think, in Barcelona, took some overtakes. I think he's getting the feel of the car back and I think he wants to prove. I think only one person he wants to prove, it's Dr. Helmut Marko. So I think it's redemption day for Sergio.
Of course. Who would not like to Checo to win this particular race and, you know, prove all his critics wrong that he was not just a good choice. And also, speaking of the curse, which Arvind said, that second car of Red Bull needs to remove its curse. Since the gone-by of Daniel Ricciardo, that second car has not won a single race. So that curse also needs to go, correct? Well, you know, there are no dark horses as such, except for the Checo win, which Tanay said, but my predictions over here could be a little bit different. I foresee a incident on lap 1, lap 2 between Mercedes and Red Bull. I will not say who and who. I will keep the fans to be guessing. And I hope I'm not proven wrong on this. But I definitely would like to see some different faces on the rostrum of Monaco Grand Prix this season on this one. Right? So, it would be very interesting if, you know, if a Ferrari or a McLaren can do something and come on the rostrum, you know, it would be such a nice gesture over there. And then we have all that old little fox of Kimi, but unfortunately, I don't know if his car is up to the mark or not to challenge the top runners, but I would like to see him on the rostrum as well. You never know. Let's keep that guessing. go ahead, Evan. Yeah.
Yeah, we have like we seem to have a lot of curses here. Red Bull second seed, Charles homeboy, Monaco, and yeah, so many curses around here.
Correct. All the curses in Monaco.
One thing I like to add, this year we have Nikita Mazepin as well. So expect a lot of safety cars. I think that racing behind the safety car, it generally backs the pack up and it allows people to overtake if a massive gap has been built. So I hope he doesn't get hurt, but still.
Well, you said about Mazepin, you know, there are a lot of negativity revolving around him. But I really hope, you know, he can remove his curse as well and do something good in that particular Haas livery, especially when the car is not so much of power-driven and it is only aerodynamically driven. I hope this Haas can, you know, do something good and give the drivers some bit of confidence for the future races. Though, as you said, Tane, driver can crash only once. So if it's not early, it better be late, because then the race will be very much interesting.
Very much, yes.
All right. So, all right, guys. So this is all from the Monaco preview today. We'll catch back to you on Thursday with the FP1, FP2. Do not forget to check F1 India community site, our articles on the drivers and race cars and other technical stuff. Also, keep listening to our podcast, and do visit our Instagram page as well for more stickers and the time slots and everything. Ciao, and have a great race weekend. Thank you, Tane, Arvind, and Shubham. Have a good evening, guys.